Welcome, listeners, to another enlightening episode of 10 Minutes of Truth with your host, Sean A. Barksdale. Today, we're turning our focus to a topic that's paramount for young people stepping into the world of finance, banking essentials. Joining us is a special guest, Ms. Throckmorton from Benchmark Bank in South Boston, Virginia. Ms. Throckmorton's expertise and dedication to financial literacy makes her the perfect guide for today's discussion. Together, we'll unravel the mysteries of debt versus credit, delve into the significance of your credit score, explore the world of loans, and emphasize the importance of establishing a relationship with a local bank. We've designed this segment to spark conversations among parents, young individuals, and their chosen local bank, fostering a deep understanding of essential banking principles. While our discussion will lay a solid foundation, we encourage you to seek further guidance from industry professionals. You want to know a fantastic starting point? Benchmark Bank's Smart Start program, tailored for young individuals. So let's dive in and equip ourselves with the knowledge to navigate the financial waters ahead.
Part two starts now.
And you always got to pay attention to what that interest rate is, whether it's a car or a TV or a phone. Because if it's 5% interest or 35%, you got to look at those things.
Right. Right. Yeah, because, I mean, they can be, those interest rates can be way up there. And, you know, they've got places like finance companies that a lot of people tend to like to go get loans. And they will bring us their statements, and they are paying these loans back, and the interest rate is 30%. Mm. And they're paying more interest than they're paying anything else. And they've been paying on it for years and basically paid hardly any towards their principal amount of what they actually borrowed. So that's one thing. You want to keep your credit good so you can actually go to a bank and get a loan rather than somewhere that charges you a extremely high interest rate. Yes. Okay. So if you don't pay your loans back, I think we touched on it a little while ago, you know, you can have garnishments. Mm. Which is where they take money. They go to your employer and they tell your employer, hey, he didn't pay me back. Put this lien on it. You got to send me this much money each time he gets paid. And before you get your check, they send us money. That's a garnishment. There's judgments. They can foreclose on your property or repossess it, meaning we, you know, you don't pay, we come get that car. We take it right out your driveway. Mm. We send a wrecker and they'll come and get it if you don't make your payments. You know, a lot of times, you know, we try to work with people as much as we can. So if you let, you know, if something happens, because, you know, bad things happen to good people all the time. But, you know, if they'll call us and let us know what's going on, you know, hey, I'm going to be a little bit late this month, but I promise I'm going to do it. As long as you do what you're saying, we'll typically work with you as much as possible.
That word lien, you've used it a few times. So we were talking about a car, for instance, and the bank having a lien on the car. So what is something that they will take from that car if a lien is on it until it's paid? Like the title.
The title. So, you know, you have a title with a vehicle. And what we do is... used to, we would hold the title in a file, but now DMV does everything electronically. So we send the title back to DMV, and they put our lien electronically on it, showing that Benchmark has a loan against this car. So we don't actually have the title anymore, but we hold an electronic lien. Mm-hmm. So once you pay that vehicle off, then we notify DMV that, hey, you've paid everything, everything's good, we release it, we have no interest in the car. They will send you your title back in the mail showing that there's no lien against it.
I did that about the first car, the car that I had. I took out a $15,000 loan through Navy Federal, and I had to pay $300 a month, right? There was a lien on it, and they had the title. I never got the title until I paid it off. It took me 5 years. So that's what you have to judge. Like, you know, when it comes to employment and taking out loans, you know, you have to be disciplined enough to say, I'm going to stay at this job, right? Or do I have the ability to get a better job? Things like that. So you have to take all these things into account when you take these loans out.
Exactly. Yeah, and that goes back to the budgeting. Just make sure that your take-home pay is enough to cover the loans and everything. And I would suggest leave a little bit in that budget for savings, because you don't want to spend every dime you make. You know, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, and that's kind of scary. I mean, I've been there, done that. I mean, it's, you just don't know what you're going to have left over.
Right.
So.
Such as like them tires. If a tire blows out, mm-hmm. if you don't have anything to save it, how are you going to fix your tire?
Right. So. Or if the engine goes out in the car.
What you said?
Sean in the room.
So, like you said, we've done this $10,000 loan for you to buy a vehicle. You've been making your payments. Everything's great. You've paid most of the vehicle off. And all of a sudden, you lose your job. You can't pay for that vehicle. Do you think we just say, oh, well, let me give you back your other money? And no, it doesn't work like that. What you paid the bank is what they keep that money. You're out of that money. And you also, we repossess the car as well. So you're out of a car and all the money that you've already paid. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you don't get that money back. Now, we sell it and we take sealed bids on it if we repossess it. We take sealed bids trying to get the highest and best. But we're concerned about the extra $1,000 or whatever that we still have owed. We're not concerned if you get any money back mm-hmm. from it. Because sometimes if we can sell it for a lot more, you may get some back. But we have to take all these things into consideration. How much was the fee that it cost us for the repo guy to come get it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much was advertising it for the sale? Those kind of things. So you still lose a lot.
Does that seem fair?
It might seem fair.
That's what I was going to say. Very good, son. Life is not fair, though. So the reason of this right here, thank you so much, because the reason for this is we didn't have people to teach us this at this age. So if you gather it, right, the information, you'll be ahead of the curve, man. You'll really be ahead of life gathering this information if you apply it correctly.
Yeah, you can't imagine how many people that we see coming here and, you know, they're in a house. They've gotten their house or whatever. Somebody left them a house or whatever, and they're living there. And all of a sudden, it's 12 degrees outside and their heat pump blows up.
Mm.
But they've never paid anybody back that they've borrowed money from.
Mm.
But they need a loan now because I'm cold. But our hands are tied. We have guidelines. We can't loan you the money to put that heat pump in. To where if you've kept your credit in good standing and paid everything, you walk in here and you say, I need that money. We can most of the time get you a loan by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You could have your heat pump set up to put back in your house. But if you've set yourself up with good credit, then you know that I can walk in there and borrow that money if I need to. If I don't have the extra in my account, I can borrow some money that I need to fix this problem to where you might not be able to if you haven't paid back your debt. So that's why it's really important, because that way you aren't concerned with, can I get this loan? Am I going to be able to do this so that my house can be warm again? Or if your car breaks down, am I going to be able to get any money to fix my car so I can go back and forth to work? If you've paid all your debts, then more than likely, you'll be able to get it, and you'll be able to get it at a decent rate, so you don't pay back so much. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So in those packets that I'm going to send with you, it goes over some types of loans, like credit cards, consumer installment loans. The credit cards we went over, but installment loans would be for like buying a car or something like that. And then, of course, you have home loans, which is a mortgage. And that's a bit of a more difficult process. Car loan we can do in a day. A mortgage loan takes us anywhere from 45 days to 60 days to complete for buying a house. But the littler loans and paying them back on time, when you get ready to buy a home loan, you'll be more prepared for that process. So that's a little bit. And this goes over the four C's of credit. Collateral, capacity, capital, and character. So, you know, we have to look at all these things when loaning money. So collateral, that is, what do you have to offer of value that I can hold and put my lien on for this loan. So let's say you have a car that you've already paid for and you need to borrow some more money. And I say, well, what kind of collateral do you have? You say, well, I own my car. Can I put the title up for that? Sure, that's your collateral. The capacity, do you have the capacity to pay that back? Is your income sufficient for you to actually cover that debt monthly after you've covered your other debts? Character is basically just going to be, you know, how you've handled your credit in the past. And the capital is going to be your asset, and that goes into figuring your ability to repay that debt and whether you have handled your business like you need to. Y'all understand that?
Very good. And that character, that is one of the most important, because we know what character is, but a lot of times you may not sit down in front of her. So when it, like, personally like this, face to face, so the character is going to be your paper trail, mm-hmm. right? Of your payments, what you did, and the integrity of paying things back, so on and so forth. So that's going to be the character that they see. Like, nah, he paid this for a little while. He didn't pay that. He didn't pay this. He didn't pay that. So the character is that he doesn't really have the integrity to pay these things back. And based off of that, without them knowing that you really may be a good person, they're going to say he's not really a good person because he doesn't pay back what he's supposed to pay back. Yeah, feel me? So that's the character. Yeah.
You know, I've got customers now that they'll call me and say, hey, I need to borrow $3,000. I say, okay, how do you want me to get it to you? We can email documents to them. They can sign it electronically. I drop it right in their checking account.
Right.
That's because they've always paid me on time.
That's right.
Their credit's good. They've done what they're supposed to. But then we've got some that say, well, you know, there's some blemishes on the credit. I'm going to have to go to somebody higher up to see if they're willing to allow us to do this loan. And there may be a lot of extra questions and hoops to jump through. So that's why you want to keep that credit in good standing.
Another question that we want to ask is about your job history. How does that play into loans and credit and things of that nature as well?
That's one thing we look at, especially on a house loan. All right, let's say we look for a 2-year history typically for your job. Well, let's say you've had 12 jobs in 2 years. You don't stay anywhere long. Are they really stable enough to handle this loan? You know, what if they get mad and decide they're going to quit tomorrow? Will they be able to pay us back? So if it's not a good idea to job hop. You know, if you're working at a job and you've been there for a while and this other job is going to offer you a lot more money, that's an obvious reason to leave and go somewhere else. But if you're just, oh, my supervisor made me mad today, I'm just not going to take that mess, I'm just going to quit, I'll find something else, that's not exactly a good way to handle your business. Because people are going to make you mad every day, trust me. Things aren't going to always go your way. Sometimes you just got to let it roll. And, you know, if you need to start looking for something, if it gets that bad, then that's one thing. But we do look at that. Keep that in mind. It is something that's looked at when you apply for loans. Or, you know, I know when people apply for jobs here even, we look at their history. You know, have they been changing jobs every couple months? I mean, do we want to take the time to go in and train them if they're likely to just leave pretty soon? But yeah, on a loan application, that is something that we look at. So you do need to keep that in mind too. Well, I love my job, number one, because I get to help people on a daily basis. I get to help people get that car or get that house when they've done what they're supposed to. And that's a good feeling. You know, and a lot of times people get upset with us because we're dealing with their money. So obviously, we've got a big task. If we can't cash that check for them or we can't do that loan for them, sometimes they get upset and take it out on us. It's not always something that we can control. You know, if you haven't paid your bills on time or you haven't paid yours on time and I can't do the loan, who should you be upset with?
Yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my fault you didn't. And I'm going to look for every way I can to do that loan. And also, you know, people come in and they want to cash checks. Well, you know, you may, your account may be negative. Well, I obviously can't cash a $10,000 check for you and leave your checking account negative. So they may get upset with us and leave. And that's fine, but I would say the good in my job far outweighs the bad. And the people getting upset just far outweighs any of the other stuff. And there are days that are more stressful. You know, you've got people getting upset. Anytime you deal with different personalities, you're going to have that. And I like my car, and I like my house, and I know I need to pay my bills. I have obligations, and I have to keep my job to keep paying my obligations.
That's right. Absolutely.
Keep myself into the manner to which I've come accustomed.
Mm. Right.
You know, if so I quit.
You get accustomed to them sneakers and, you know, belts and nice food and going out to eat pizza when you want and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You want to keep that going.
And that's why, you know, you need to go as far as you can with your education. Learn as much as you can possibly learn to get the job that you want, to do what you want to do, whether it be a college or a trade school or something that helps you reach your goals. Because you have to be able to reach your goals to do the things that you want to do.
What does it look like when a person, they can't get credit, they can't get a loan, their jobs are not hiring them because they haven't stayed at jobs? What does a life look like for a person like that a lot of times?
I mean, a lot of times they're on public assistance and they don't have a lot of money to do things that they want to do. I mean, you don't really get to go on, say, vacations or have the nicer things that you may want. You don't get to have, some banks check to see how you've handled accounts at other banks when you go to open a checking account. And if you haven't handled those well at other banks, they refuse to open an account for you.
Wow.
So then you don't have access to somewhere. A lot of employers do direct deposit. Okay, you don't have a bank account. They have nowhere to put your money.
That's right.
Some of them, like if you're going to do things, they need a card number, like a debit card on file. You don't have a bank account.
Do you know what direct deposit means?
No.
It means that instead of handing you a paycheck, they are electronically putting money into your account at your bank. So that money just shows up in your bank account on payday.
And a lot of jobs, most jobs nowadays, it is no physical, I'm going to give you $200 cash or a check. You have to have that bank account for them to wire that money into it. And as she said, if you don't, you might not even get the job if you can't get, you know, a bank to let you in and open up an account.
Right.
Right.
So all that stuff, keeping stuff on time and paying things like you're supposed to and handling accounts, that's all very important. So the only other thing that I really wanted to touch base with y'all on is identity theft and scams. Because as you get older, and I'm not going to go into it too much because I know y'all don't really deal with it that much right now, but email and texting. If somebody you really don't know sends you an email or a text that has a link in it to click on, don't click on that link. Because they can take over your phone and they can set up, if they can get your information, they can set up credit under your name. And they're getting all this nice stuff and you're the ones that it's going to be negative reporting on, okay? So just don't do the clicking on the links or a job scam where they promise you work, and but you've got to pay to get something set up. You're never going to have to pay somebody to work for them. They'll say they're going to send you a check, and then you have to send them so much money back. That's a scam. That's one thing. But, I mean, I know you guys have a while before y'all have to deal with that. But
what's the flip side of that? If you dealt in scamming someone,
what?
He said, you go to jail. Well, I mean, well, that of course. But a lot of times there's a lot of money that's attached to that and fines and, mm-hmm. and things of that nature as well.
Right.
Because they may say, because they want the money. They may say, okay, well, we give you probation, right? And we've given you, 2 years probation, but you have to pay back $35,000.
Right, in restitution.
In restitution.
Right.
you know, and find it. Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's on the flip side of, you know, of theft and stuff like that as well.
Right. And, you know, we see, I could just go on all day about the different scams we see and stuff. And sometimes the federal government, the FBI and all get involved in that stuff. I've had to actually talk to the FBI on some scams that we've had. You don't want them dudes coming to your house.
Mm-mm. I know for myself, I set up alerts, right? Because my account was hacked one time, which I want to ask about social security numbers, things like that, that are attached. But, and you may be able to talk about alerts as well that you can have, like I have. If you take a dollar out of my account now, an alert. So how important are your social security number and your birth dates linked to accounts and things of that nature?
It's very important because you never, if anybody asks you for your social, you need to know who they are and why they need it. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be somebody that you have contacted for credit. If somebody asks you for your social, your date of birth, any of that kind of stuff, your internet banking passwords, anything like that, never give it out. If somebody gets that information, they can set up all kinds of stuff and loans and stuff in your name. I've seen stuff set up even your age, and they'll set it up under your social. And then you start your credit history at 18 negatively, and you're behind the ball to begin with, to be honest with you. But yeah, you don't give out your social because all that information can be very detrimental if they get it. And if they ever get into your bank account, they can wipe you out quick. Now, the bank, we do typically, if it's somebody that's hacked your account and we determine that it was fraudulent, we put it back. But sometimes it can take days to sort it out. So you may be without money for, you know, several days to a week while we're trying to sort it out and see what happens.
And so you got to pay that car payment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you definitely don't. Getting hacked is no fun. It happens all the time, but it's no fun. They have what they call skimmers. Like you may go to the gas pump and they or ATM and there be a skimmer machine. When you put your card in, the skimmer reads that card number information. It records it and then the person that put it on there comes back, picks it up, and they've got all these card numbers that have been used at that machine.
Wow.
And they sell these lists on something called the dark web.
Mm.
And I had to be a juror on a federal case one time, and they had a machine that they would go to, say, Walmart and buy all these blank gift cards, or steal them, rather. They would pick them up,
mm-hmm.
but they wouldn't activate them. So they would take them, they were taking them back to this hotel room and using these lists that they had to encode these blank gift cards.
Oh, wow.
With these people's credit card or debit card numbers. And then they were going to buy huge cartons of cigarettes down here and selling them up north because they were cheaper down here than they were up north. So they could get top dollar if they took them up, say, New York or somewhere and sold them. But they were encoding these gift cards with those people's card numbers. So when they swiped it, the strip on the back of the card had somebody else's credit card number on it. And that's, so they wasn't costing them anything. They had pure profit because they weren't paying for the cigarettes to begin with. They were using stolen cards. So it was a big, big thing. They'd been doing it for several years and they busted them up.
That's the thing right there, because listen to everything that she said they had to do to get the money versus going to get a job. That's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or being an entrepreneur and starting your own business, right? They got
to
go
off for you to say.
I'm just saying it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's easy.
You know, having a job, being an entrepreneur is still a job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they had to go all the way up, you know, north to sell cigarettes, bro. You know what I'm saying? When you could.
It was a lot of time and effort into what they were doing. It was a whole lot more than it would have been to have actually gotten a good job or,
right.
you know, gone to school and got a good education.
Right.
It was a lot more involved with them doing what they did. Not to mention the fact they wound up in jail.
Hmm.
So.
And they had to pay it back when they got out.
Mm-hmm.
So they were late.
Never mind.
We had a very, very knowledgeable module with Miss Throckmorton. We had Sean and Brian. They were very studious. She put together a wonderful package for us. We'd like to thank you so much for taking this time out. She worked over, so we would like to really thank Benchmark for taking the time out to teach these modules. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm Jennifer Throckmorton, branch manager at Benchmark Community Bank, and I've got my boots on the ground.
You can find us on all major podcast platforms. 10 Minutes of Truth with Sean A. Barksdale.